Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Scatter Chatter. I'm your boy, Jess Ray.
And this is Will 93, and we'd like to thank each and every one of you for hanging out with us, vibing with us. Please, if we interact with you, I want you to leave your messages, your comments, your concerns at the bottom of the page if you're on the site. We definitely want to engage with you, chat with you, share thoughts with you, and Ray. What do we have for today, man? What do we have for today?
Well, before I get into it, I just want to inform everybody that we're going to change our normal show times from Wednesdays to Mondays at 8 p.m.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, people got work, so I've been having a weird change of schedule. My crew has been yelling at me to get it together, so I am getting it together.
That's right.
So that is
8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock here on Central Standard Time, where I am here in Nashville, 11 o'clock
Eastern
Standard Time. Yes.
There you go.
So
yeah.
It's about to go down on Mondays. Scatter Chatter, come check us out.
On Mondays, and we'll have guests
on
Mondays.
On Mondays,
things coming on Mondays, and we have shows. They're going down. A lot of stuff has happened over the 4th of July weekend.
Man.
So I want to start with, I don't know if I want to, I'm just going to go into it. So the first thing that came to mind was the Louis Farrakhan speech on the 4th.
Okay. All right. Did you see it? Did you see all of it?
Oh, I watched it all the way from the beginning to the end. I just wanted, you know what I'm saying? You got to sit on top of these things, you know?
Yeah.
My take on it was it was a message to the black community. It was unbiased. It was just telling you all the different perspectives from different angles, pandemic, the vaccine, and taking it, and why is it for us, and his relationships he's had with different cultures and everything. But it's basically just a message to our culture. And there were some people saying like he's like very anti-white, he's anti-whatever, but no, these are like different experiences that he's had with different groups, and they've done certain things, and he's just addressing them. And he's never been, I would like to say, ungentlemanly like about it. It's more being diplomatic with everybody to make sure that we're all on the same playing field. And he's kind of like our voice, because not everybody's allowed in some of those rooms, in some of those places. So he's doing the best that he can to best represent us in that.
This is true.
So, and then two things that I was okay, – so two things that I stuck out to me that I didn't know. Well, three, I don't know what the third one was. I forgot what the name of it was, but the Talmud and Yaqub. So I went and did some digging, but most of the time when people mention both of those terms, they're biased. They're from like a very bad point of view, and I wish that people would just mention data on an unbiased view so people can just learn it and not have a develop a point of view based upon the person that's delivering the information. So for those of you that don't know, the Yaqub was a black scientist that supposedly developed white people as a thing because he wasn't allowed into the culture. So that's kind of like the basis of it. This isn't a bad or good thing. It's just that's what that is. And the Talmud is a book of writings that coincide with the Torah. And if you want to correct me on that, you can. But I actually went and like did a little bit of digging so I knew what the hell I was talking about.
Yes. You're hitting the nail right on the head with that. The Thamud, that's Thamud, I believe. This is like, I want to say maybe, oh gosh, I want to say 9th century or 8th century before Christ. And this is the time of Muhammad. So it's, I guess that would be kind of like North or maybe South Arabia. I'm very vague on it. I had a great grandmother who was an awesome teacher. So, but for the most part, there are contradictions in the story. There's contradictions within the Talmud as far as the Torah is concerned. And so then it gives way to interpretations. And the interpretations does not make Muslims look good. It doesn't. It almost seems to give us the idea of like second class citizens for those who are of the Islamic faith. Not good. Did I say not good? Because of that, because of that methodology, it changes the way maybe some of the Jewish or Hebrew nation feel and interact with Islamic culture. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan spoke on this in detail, in depth. He called those who were following the Talmud imposters of the Hebrew or Jewish faith. So he was kind of calling them out as he was saying his speech. And I found that to be kind of profound because I did not believe he was going to speak in that way. Mm-hmm. But it was eye-opening. He did not necessarily give opinions to the reason why he would call certain members of the Hebrew or Jewish community imposters. He gave historical fact that anyone can look up to be able to make their own decision on that. And I thought that was bold. And on top of that, he did come for some of the Christians too.
Yeah.
He didn't want to leave the Christians out.
Yeah. So it's interesting how like some people misinterpret what he was saying, and they just thought it was just a jab at the Jewish community, and it was anti-Semitic, and it was not. And you have to really just listen to what he's saying. He's saying like in any religion and in any culture, there's a set of bad people and there's a set of good people. And he was just making mention to the bad people as well as making mentioning to the good. If you were listening to him closely, it wasn't just a stab. It was like all these, you know, like pointing. It wasn't finger pointing or anything. It was just like, he's like, yo, some of y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to do according to your beliefs, and some of you are. Those of you who are not, you guys are not the true believers or whatnot. And this is where things get really, like, sticky and dicey with religion. I don't want to, like, get too heavy on that because that's not where we are, but I'm just letting you know what I thought from what I understood from what Minister Farrakhan was saying. And, like I said, it was very unbiased, and he just mentioned all sides of the equation, not just, like, just his perspective, what he thought, and what he said. It was everything was less factual. It was zeros and ones. You can't argue zeros and ones. It's a real set of numbers. That's what it is.
Right. Right. And I found that to be kind of profound. He gave specifics the Quran, different books. I think there was Surah 2, verse 59, and I believe it was Surah 7, verse 162. I had to take some notes on that because I was like, I wanted to go back to make sure that I was speaking accurately. He kind of went into the Bible and went into Isaiah chapter 26. I think we were verses 20 and 21. And mm-hmm. he was also in Genesis 15. He was on verses 13 and 15. I found it to be as on point as he could possibly be with the delivery of the message. And yes, it was for the black community to kind of absorb, but I think he made it universal for all all backgrounds to be able to do the work and do the math.
Right. Right.
Job well done, as always.
Yeah, so that was good. So moving on from there, on the 4th of July, there was a march on Stone Mountain, my old hometown. And there was the NFAT group. I don't know if I should even be mentioning the name of the group. The thing about it, what I want to say is there are some that believe that there shouldn't be a black militia, and some that believe that there should. I don't know. I personally, I just feel like, you know, there's room for everybody. And it's like there, I feel like the cause along with that is just, you know, they're standing up for black people's rights and exercise the Second Amendment. I don't know if how that works. That's not my thing. But I know that, you know, it's not okay to, like, just disregard a group of people for what they're doing when they actually decide to, like, stand up and actually do something.
My short answer, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I believe that if we're going to reserve the Second Amendment right to bear arms and to create militias, then it won't matter what color.
Mm-hmm.
It just won't matter. In this day, in this time, I start to see more black militias forming because they are kind of having to deal with the social injustices and they're not fed up with it. Like, enough is enough is enough. And so
right.
Now people are taking up arms.
Mm-hmm.
I said this on a previous show some episodes back that there's a resistance to those who are standing up against social injustices. And
mm-hmm.
remember, I brought up the idea of the woman who had spat on one of the protesters. One of the protesters drove their car into a group of protesters and shot one of the people there. We talked about the cyclist who engaged with some people who had Black Lives Matter literature and was posting, and how he tried to take the literature from them. These are examples of people who don't want to see change.
Yeah.
No matter how fast and how swift and how intelligent it comes. These people are showing their color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult. It's difficult. It's just human beings trying to engage and negotiate with someone who just doesn't want it to happen.
Right.
I respect the voices of a white nationalist walking around with a flag, with a swastika, because he or she has the First Amendment right to free speech.
Yeah,
I do. It sounds odd. It sounds odd as the 50-year-old black man on the radio is like, dude, how could you possibly do that? They have the right to say whatever it is they want to say.
Right.
But the caveat to that is they should be held responsible for what they say.
Right.
And if that means that you lose your job, so be it.
Right.
If you're that far, if you're that far to the right, to the point where you don't see self-inclusion of people, then I think you should lose your income. I think you should be outed for the person that you are, so that everyone can see it and recognize it and respond to it.
Right. So could we equate that to similar to the lady? I mean, she was just convicted. The lady that was trying to call the cops on the guy in the park when he was bird watching. She had the dog.
Amy Cooper.
Yeah. So is that kind of like the same thing we're talking about here?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Because if anyone knows that scenario, and we'll just put a little bit of light on it as we move on. Amy Cooper was in Central Park with her dog, not on a leash. She was
right.
in the wrong. She was in the
right.
wrong. Chris Cooper, no relation, black man, is a bird watcher in the park and told her that she was wrong for not having the leash on the dog. And she decided that she was going to call the police and say that there was a black man assaulting her in the park while she is being recorded in the park making a false claim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to swing you back for history. April 19th, 1989, there were five black teenagers who were pulled, collected, arrested, booked, and sentenced to prison for assaulting a woman in the park, leaving her from an inch of her life. And they made that whole story up, just like Amy Cooper did. And that Central Park Five, now the exonerated five, had to go through losing their childhood, their freedom, because of what a system allowed to have happen.
Hmm.
She may or may not have been aware of that. She may not have known the historic ramifications of that particular part and what she was doing. But yes, if she loses her job, so be it. If she loses her freedom for jail time, if she's a convicted felon for this, so be it. Because if you look at scripture, if you look at scripture in the commandments, we do not bear false witness.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Yeah, I went there. Right. I went there. So I just look at all of these case scenarios, especially if it happens a place that was close to you in Stone Mountain. I mean, you have an incident and then you have a reaction, or an incident and an action and a reaction per se. And then you see quite a few black men, malicious, armed with assault rifles, who showed up on the scene. This can be kind of alarming for many, I believe. You know, it can be scary for a lot of people. Could you imagine the people in Stone Mountain? I mean, this is an area where the Ku Klux Klan ran free to be able to terrorize, to lynch, to burn crosses, to kill, to assault black people. That's huge.
Yeah.
So, big time. Big time. So, we're not talking about going 2,000 years, you know, in the life and times of Christ. We're talking about maybe 150 years ago.
Yeah.
That ran rampant through the civil rights movement. Oh, yeah, right. Stone Mountain was acting up.
Yeah.
They were acting up, man.
And I think the reason why that happened was because there was, like, an online threat that there was going to be some activity that was supposed to happen.
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
nothing,
sir.
Really, like, nothing really, like, came of that. I don't know if it was because they showed up. But then, later that night, there was shootings. There were shootings.
To my knowledge, the UEP Newton Gun Club had issued out kind of like a video message saying that there was a reasonable threat that was being put out in some of the black communities regarding the 4th of July. Some people acted on it and kind of stood down. Some people kind of stood up and said, we're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to be pressured not to act up. And then I believe that there was a shooting in Atlanta. Now, from the video that I saw, I could not tell you who was doing the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say that it was a black-on-black shooting. But I'm a conspiracy theorist, right? And like the shooting that happened in Atlanta, like the shooting we had in Chicago, I think 102 people were either shot and killed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily believe that that's black-on-black.
Wait a minute.
No,
let's twist it.
No, I don't believe so. Okay. I try to be absent of feelings. Feelings sway you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, feelings will gather you and guide you down a path that may not necessarily be based on facts. It just may be how you feel. And when you're trying to deal with justice, real justice, you can't be with a lot of emotion. You have to look at the evidence and call it what it is. Now, you may be upset at the verdict of those justices, but nevertheless, in the process, you want to be as level-headed as possible. So, when I talk about Chicago, there's a documentary that's out called 16 Shots. It is about the shooting death of Laquan McDonald, a 17-year-old black man in Chicago who was shot by a police officer 16 times in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, that's a great deal of accuracy for you to shoot a person. And while they're going down, you're still shooting them and hitting them. as you see the documentary with 16 Shots, there's a police spokesperson who arrives on the scene. As he arrives on the scene, there is a Burger King restaurant that has a camera where you're able to see the incident. The first red flag was 87 minutes. Was removed from recording as being erased. So So this is what Chicago PD did. The first thing was erase the video that could have told a story. Then they come out and they control the narrative by saying that Mr. McDonald was shot with and died of a single gunshot wound to the chest. Laquan McDonald's uncle is a pastor at a church, and when his sister came in and was telling the pastor about the shooting, they made a phone call to the coroner's office, and the coroner's office report was much different than what the police gave narrative to. Okay. They subpoenaed the dash cam because most of the cars and some of the officers have like body cams, but there was a dash camera on the scene that shows you Laquan McDonald being shot, and shot so many times you could see the dust off one's clothing as the bullets are penetrating Mr. McDonald's body. So that lets me know that if the police have control, they control the narrative of how that information is distributed through not only the city, but the nation. Which makes me think that historically, these shots, these killings are not black on black. Could it very be possible that you have rogue police officers going out and killing black youth, blaming it on other black youth? It's very possible. Because in the shooting, no one is saying, hey, that was a black man, he had short hair, or he had dreads, or he was this tall when he was walking by shooting. There's no record of who is doing the shooting. Hmm. So could the Atlanta incident, 4th of July, be the same thing? People just shooting to be shooting. There's no one seeing the shooters at that point. So, Ray, in my conspiracy theory, I tend to believe that, hey, this is a very possible narrative.
Hmm.
Scary, but it's possible.
Yeah.
But that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about social injustices. We're talking about the stand up of the black community with their militias against white nationalism. That's a civil war in the making, my friend.
Or stand up against our systematic racism. That's what it is.
Mm. And it could be. It very well could be.
I was attending a Pan-African Studies class with a friend of mine that was mentoring me at the time.
Uh-huh.
And one of the professors was talking about, I wish I knew the right wording for this, but it's basically called hegemonic order of things. It's like a cycle that black people get into where it's like we want to be black, but the more and more we try to escape, the more we get into not being black, which is like with buying things and wanting the American dream or whatever, as opposed to like uplifting the community and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it was very interesting. I think that's kind of what we're fighting for, is for our own individualism, which is fine. I'm just making a point. So that's what it is, man. While we're talking about all this, I really want to like throw up some prayers and positivity to the Ricky Smiley family. He's a comedian from Comic View, man. I've never said this out loud, but most of the black comedians, or most comedians, have been like my aunts and my uncles that have babysitted me through the times. So he was on Comic View, and most recently he had an incident with his daughter. And I know, like, he's really, like, going through it, man. He's done a lot, you know what I'm saying? He's got his radio show, and he's just really, like, mm-hmm. a down-home, like, dude from the South, man, just handling his business with his family. So, yeah, I just want to, you know, put some prayers out there and positive
man.
Vibes, all that, for his daughter to get a speedy recovery, man, and he'd be strong
yeah.
for his family and all that.
Man, that's a lot of taking on. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this was in Houston, and I think
Alabama.
He was shot like three times. Is it Alabama? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was just minding her own business, and then somebody just decided to just go ahead and just do that. It's just really sad to see, unfortunate to see that happen. And just seeing him going through it, it's not okay. None of that's okay. And it's like at this time,
mm-hmm.
we don't need these problems amongst each other, man. He was writing some of his Instagram stories and feeds. Like, we don't need
mm-hmm.
these type of problems right now, like amongst each other. So I wish him a speedy recovery with his daughter.
Yeah.
And, you know, him being strong and all that. Because usually he's
one
of those people that's he's spreading joy for everybody. Like he shouldn't have a sad moment right now.
So true, bro. So very true. And when you're having a moment, because as a parent, I mean, you're supposed to outlive your children.
Right.
And this is a very, very close call situation. I mean, to my knowledge, I was reading up on it. I think she had some nerve damage. I didn't know what that was. And I will stand on the correction. That did happen in Houston, man.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
bad. Oh, yeah. That's
cool.
He said he was driving out.
Because she was in a car. I think it was like maybe three other people in the vehicle as well. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy. Let us, you know, lift, you know, he and his family up in prayer and thought. No one should have to go through this foolishness. I think anyone who's going through that kind of road rage to the point where you're willing to take out a weapon and potentially end someone's life, you may need to pull over. Count to 10. Get a hug. Do something.
Right.
Because that is just craziness. And I'm understanding in my Christ-like feeling, you know what, you're supposed to love your enemy and forgive your enemy and to try and turn the other cheek. But this was premeditated. This was intentional. And I find it difficult in these days and times to be that forgiving. I hope that they caught the person.
Yeah.
I hope that they are tried to the fullest extent of the law. I don't believe necessarily in color. So if it was black, white, Asian, Hispanic, justice needs to be served. You know,
yeah.
this woman and this family and that community is changed forever because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, just my thoughts.
Yeah.
My scattered chatter on that.
Your scattered chatter on that. Oh, man. Yeah.
And
well,
I also want to let people know that, hey, we started the Scattered Chatter podcast Facebook page. So if you're out there hearing us right now, I definitely want you to go on to Facebook, go under the Scattered Chatter podcast, follow us, like us. We're going to be dropping knowledge, information, even our shows that we have. We're going to be dropping them there so that you're able to stay in tune with us.
It's literally Scatter Chatter Podcast. Literally.
That's it.
It's spelled exactly how you think it's spelled. No funny spelling, nothing.
Nothing.
Blue and
nothing.
Yellow.
Please do not have me come to your house. knock on your door and guide your fingers to typing Chatter Chatter Podcast. Please don't make me do that.
Don't make me do that. Don't make Will show up. Not with his people, though. Not in the truck.
No, not in the truck. You know, man. Crazy. So, I feel like I need some pancakes, bro. Aunt Jemima is off the shelf, bro.
So we were joking about this offline, about, like, the breakfast aisle is about to, like, have a food fight.
Right. The breakfast aisle is under attack.
So I didn't know there's history behind each of those labels. So it's Miss Butterworth, Aunt Jemima.
She's married. Mrs. Butterworth is married. There's a Mr. Butterworth out there.
Right. And then there's the cream of wheat guy. That's the breakfast aisle. But I'm not sure. I think Uncle Ben's is on a whole nother aisle.
You know, he might be doing security.
Yeah.
So he might be doing security.
Yeah.
But the Quaker Oats guy? Quaker Oats guy. I'm like, man, okay.
What
that's oatmeal, homie. That's the oatmeal.
Yeah, but what? That don't got nothing to do with black people being on food labels.
I had to take a deep breath on that one. So
I wonder if they're going to go after the Chiquita banana person. I'm sorry. I had to throw that out there. I wonder if they're
going
to go after that.
Oh, not the Chiquita banana over in the fruit. Now we're going to the fruit, homie.
And the abuelito, the chocolate. Oh, man, that's my favorite.
Oh, man.
Man, they're not going after everybody, are they?
Now, there is this hidden feel for Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima's got to be 140, 150 years old.
Right.
And there was something that came out of the White House. No, let me back up. There was a Trump supporter who gave the narrative. I hope you're sitting down for this, Ray. I hope you're sitting down.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Gave the narrative that Aunt Jemima should be deemed as an American hero because she was a slave that was freed and turned around and became a millionaire and fought for civil rights. Before civil rights was civil rights.
This is what
a Trump supporter said.
Did he find that on Wikipedia? Because internet is always true, right?
Man, stop it. Stop it. Right? You're my brother and I love you, man. Stop it. Stop it. I was like, is this the narrative that you're giving me for the syrup? I mean, for the pancakes? Are you serious? I was like, okay. She's an American hero. She's living the American dream. And I was like, you know what? Stop it. Stop it. I really need you to think about this
in your personal life
before you start talking about it. Ray, there was so much wrong with that. It really, really was. And I was like, okay.
Okay. All right.
If that's your story and that's what.
Was it one of those that was so bad you just got to say, okay, all right. Whatever. All right. Whatever.
I
don't make lunch.
And you know me, Ray. Normally I would take time out to craft a message and put it on Facebook regarding this because I really want to open up eyes and minds. I really do. I think that's the fun part that we get with Scatter Chatter. There is a sense of euphoria that I get when we present our guests and their knowledge. And then when we're sitting here having this moment, I mean, we're talking about pop culture. We're talking about social injustices. We're talking about inspiring the minds of others who see wrong and try to right it. I don't know how else to say that or to express that, especially in this day and time. I mean, I had a great grandmother who survived Black Wall Street in Tulsa. Became
wow.
a teacher what? And educated me on these matters.
Yeah. That's intense, bro.
So right. So thanks, man. But so when I see the president having a rally in Tulsa on the anniversary of the Black Wall Street Massacre, I'm like, wow. You
he
really
did
didn't get it. He did that. You know,
wow.
When he's talking about doing a rally in Jacksonville, Florida, on August 27th, on the anniversary of the axe handle incident, anyone is out there, just look up Jacksonville, Florida, August 27th, 1960.
Wow.
I've shared that before, and it's just like, I'm like, really? We doing it like that?
Big Willie.
And now the president does not wish to say anything negative about the Confederate flag because his base loves the Confederate flag. Part of his base says that this is cool.
Oh, wait. I want to mention while you're on that. Oh, my gosh. They had the Navy singing the theme music to Lion King or something. And the singers weren't black. Did you see this?
No, please.
It was so.
Okay.
Oh.
Ray, you don't make me pull out my. Ray.
Y'all know it.
Don't do it to me, Ray. I'm going to pull out my Gentleman Jack Daniels on this show.
I do. I respect it. But it's like, it was kind of painful. It was painful. I watched it just 10 seconds of it, and I was just like, oh, man, what have we come to?
Man.
And I don't think there was anybody black in that chorus that was singing. There was not a one black person.
Wow.
And if they were,
okay,
they were probably cringing.
Let me go get my Jack Daniels, man. I think I got some coke.
I'm sorry.
It's too much.
It was so
too much.
Well, if you saw it, you'd be like, you know what? I don't want to watch TV anymore. I'm done. Well, I'm done with TV and the internet. Is there a cave somewhere? I know there's caves somewhere.
I am. And again, and I said this earlier in the show, I believe that white nationalists have the right to say whatever they feel. They have the... I can't...
No, that's fine.
Deny them that, but I do want to hold them accountable for the foolery. I really do, man. I really do.
I don't know what to tell you, bro. It was painful, man. It was.
First a Fat Boys breakup, now this.
No, that was exactly my thinking, but I just didn't. I. you see how I'm struggling with this. So, yeah, so you continue with
your
thoughts.
Yes, you should, man. I mean, so, listen, people. If you're out there and you can hear my voice, whether you are Democrat or Republican, whether you're pro-black or you're pro-white, whether you protest to change the current system or that you love the system in which you live in and the freedoms and the privileges that you have under it, I want to let you know that the country is embroiled in a changing process. Things that were around and was okay last year will not be okay this year.
Okay. So while you're on that vein, this is how painful it is. Do you remember when Taylor Swift did September by Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Oh, that was... God. Yes, I do.
That's how it felt. That's how
you know
it felt.
I almost threw up in my mouth, right?
I mean, you almost threw up in my mouth
when you said that.
You got a toothbrush, bro?
Man, I have some mouthwash around somewhere. Dude, that was... And Taylor Swift is a good singer.
She's a great singer.
But that wasn't her song. That wasn't her song.
No.
Not past go.
I'd be like, baby, you are a great singer. Stick to what you know. Don't. If you run out of lyrics, just sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. But don't mess with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it's not
for
racial.
It's a good song.
And everybody likes Earth, Wind, and Fire. Just leave it alone, man. Leave it alone.
Right. Just no.
You know. Who bullies a song? Who bullies a song?
Man, I'm just. It was wrong. It was wrong. Let me get Mint Condition back together and let them try it.
Oh.
It's critical. But that's what we are, man. I mean, just I just have to let people know if like change is slowly coming. It is coming around. It's an election year. The millennials, people did believe in the millennials. They said that they didn't have anything to really believe in. And they're changing the hearts and minds. I find that most of millennials, and this is black, white, Asian, Hispanic, are on the front line speaking out about this.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't gone through Jim Crow. They haven't gone through civil rights. They haven't gone through, you know, segregation. They haven't gone through slavery. But they're picking it up. They're picking up the mantle right now.
Mm.
You know, Black Lives Matter have replaced Jesse Jackson. And now you have groups.
Yeah, where is Jesse Jackson in all of this? I haven't seen or heard from him. Nothing.
Right. I'm sorry, Jesse. I had to put you on the spot. Jesse. And so, you know, people are picking it up and they're running with it. It's an, like I said, it's an election year and things are changing. You know, and whether you like it or not, whether you support it or not, either you're going to adapt to it or it's going to roll right over you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff that happened in Jacksonville in 1960, that's not going to fly in Jacksonville in 2020.
Nah.
If the police come out and start remotely trying to swing, you know, axe handles and baseball bats, they're going to be met with some resistance.
Just a little. You know, just a little bit.
you know. Yeah. People are not taking that kind of get down any longer.
No.
I'm here in Tennessee, and it's like when I was traveling through the city. I was going to see my stepmother and my sister, and mm-hmm. there was a black man who was pulled over by law enforcement, and there were like five or six cars pulled over, and they were outside of the car.
Uh-oh.
I was like, whoa. Yeah, like, no. We're not. If you had a heart, you did not like the George Floyd killing. And people are not going to stand for that anymore. It's just not. I don't know what it's going to look like. I hope that it's peaceful, but it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed, right?
Mm.
And I could easily see a civil war. Everyone can I could see the purge, maybe. You know, where
really?
Kind of like a free for all. Yeah. This is when, you know, art imitates life. And then you see life that imitates art. So could you imagine how the purge was? And just imagine how people are in an anarchy-type situation. It's a free-for-all because the police can't handle it. There's not enough police. There's not enough National Guard to handle a huge clash between the races.
So we're kind of like talking about Arkham City, kind of like in Batman. But which one was the Joker? Was it Batman Returns or Batman Begins? Or just like if you turn, he said something like if you touch these animals, they'll all turn on each other and eat each other alive or something like that.
Yeah.
He said something. Yeah. I was like, what?
There was a similar case seen in the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix at the end. So, the question at hand is, are people prepared for that?
No one's never. They're
I
never
believe,
ready.
I believe that.
Some are, probably. I
believe that if you are a white nationalist and you have plenty of land and you're living off the land, you're prepared. You're prepared to take on anyone in the city. There was a gentleman who put out a message, and he was running for Congress in Arizona. And he was like, mm-hmm. yo, you know, we're waiting for the president to give us the go-ahead. And he said he would guarantee it will be done in an hour.
Damn.
Like, could you imagine? Yeah, could you imagine the president saying something like, you know what, it's time. And then they take that as their dog whistle, and then they start shooting blacks in the fence out protesting. It's very possible in this day and time. You know, the racial tension right now is so much there, right, that I don't think that the police, who may be involved one way or another, would be involved. Dude, it's going to be terrible. You know, I hope it doesn't get there. But, you know, in this day and time, you never know. You just never know.
The twist is, like, is people when they're raising kids here during this age, like, how are they doing it? Like, raising kids and all could be somewhat challenging.
Well, again, you have people who kind of follow Martin Luther King, turn the other cheek, pray for your enemies. You know what I'm saying? We felt as though the system eventually catch up to the dream. And then you have Malcolm X, by any means necessary. No, we're not going to engage first with the violence, but we are going to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and that is a mindset, that is a mentality that is starting to grow. We are starting to distrust the police. We are starting to push back against the police because they're not trusted to do the right thing anymore. And there's too many cases right now where you're seeing police officers not doing the right thing. And so what do you do? What does a people do when you have this? Because let's say, for instance, if the shoe was on the other foot and it was about black privilege, do you believe? And if we had white Americans who went through slavery, you know, if we went out and, you know, the kings and queens of Africa invaded and took over Europe, and the Europeans sold, like if the French had sold off the Germans into slavery, or if the English had sold off the Scottish and the Irish into slavery. I know it's a big what if, but, you know, how would society be now? Again, we were seen as three-fifths of a man, right? And now that's not flying anymore. So, the President of the United States had a chance to address this and chose not to. And when he did address it, he addressed it to the point where the offenders were okay. And there's going to be a day of reckoning. It's going to be bad, right? I hope, like I hope and pray that it doesn't. But I believe that there's enough blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics who are saying, hey, enough is enough. They're going to pick a side, and yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
Hey. Some areas will win. California may win with a more aggressive, you know, left-wing outcome. But if I'm in North Dakota, if I'm in Montana, if I'm in, you know, Oklahoma, it's a game changer then. If you come here to Tennessee, yeah, it might go down pretty bad.
I think in the 13 colonies, it might be a problem in the 13 colonies, honestly.
Well, I mean, New York, I mean, is a melting pot in itself. I don't see that kind of drama happening in New York like that. But North Carolina? Yeah, North Carolina could have it. Kentucky could have it. West Virginia could have it. Places where you see rural America, militias. Yeah, it's very, very possible. Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, South Carolina, it could be all bad. And like I said, my people out there listening, this is not something that I wish to have happen by no means. But if you sit back and you look at society, just in the last 4 years. Could you say that there's probably been more racial tension now in the last 4 years than we probably would have seen in the last 20?
Man. Yeah, I think so. Because everything was kind of quiet for a minute. It's like a little hanging tension.
Yeah. When presidents kind of spoke even keel about what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong, you seem to have had people kind of dormant on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had Charlottesville. You know, protester was killed, ran up and killed. He came back and said, you know, there were good people on both sides. They had tiki torches and swastikas. And if anyone knows historically, the swastika thing didn't end right. So that's what I got, man. That's all I have, man. I don't want to be, I don't want to be seen as an angry black man. But when I do get angry, I think I have a right to be angry.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to be level-headed. I want to be able to have that bird's eye view to be able to give the news to people, blacks, whites, Asians, Hispanics. I want to give the news to all of them and say, hey,
right.
Well, you know what, let's look at this thing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you need a purge? You know, I'm
trying
to
purge. What is up with you, the purge?
Hey, I haven't seen the movie in its entirety, bro. But is that what's necessary? Do you see a time where you have a fight between the two extremes, and then maybe more even keel, level headed people prevail and create new laws? I would hope that all we have to do is vote on the people to change our laws for us. But how well has that been doing? Because I don't have an answer for it. I really don't. But I don't want to make the show that melancholy. I think I did, huh? I think I did. People are going to let me know about that. Real melancholy
on
the show.
I'm sure that they will. Let's see.
You're not supposed to agree with me, man. You're supposed to be like, yo, no, that was just like some real honest talk, Will.
I mean, it was, but it's like, it's just some strange, it's just a really strange time going on right now, you know? And then, like,
yes,
on top of all this stuff that we talked about and discussed, you still got to deal with the COVID thing.
The cooties.
I've said this before. Like, it's kind of like what's going to happen is we have, like, intermittent closings. But this isn't phase two. Like, phase two is supposed to be, like, bad. And I've heard, like, I've got some rumors that some people – other people in healthcare, they're just like, their hospitals are preparing for what's about to happen come September, November. And, you know.
Yeah.
So we hope that it's not as bad as they think it is, but they're ramping up just in case this shit goes to shit. So, I mean, as long, you know, I know people want to be out there and do things and whatever, but, you know, it's still there. Cooties is still out there.
The cooties are still out there. Man, I tell you. It's
so
just,
please, I mean, I know there's people that are like masking. There's the anti-maskers. But for the most part, like, regardless of if it's your religious right or if it's, you know, or you just feel in a certain type of way, like, just wear the mask for other people. Like, if you white people, like, if you like, okay, if you like your grandmama, you know what I'm saying, wear the mask. Just wear it. Or find you one that works. Just cover your face. Like, don't fight it. Don't fight with people. You know, don't destroy other people's rights because of what you feel, you know? Like, if the grocery store says wear a mask, just wear it. Because you could give other people the cooties in the grocery store that might be your neighbors, the guy that you barbecue with, the guy that you have a beer with on an occasion or whatever. Like, just do it. Don't fight it. Don't try to be an individual. Just stop. Just help everybody out.
Right. The cooties will not hit me. All this and the cooties.
Yeah. All right. So I think, I don't know, was there any last minute thoughts that we wanted to share? Will, did you have anything on, did I hit everything that happened this weekend?
Yeah, man, I think we hit all those parts, man. I'm about to go out and see if I can get some last-minute Aunt Jemima pancakes before it's, like, totally gone. And I'm going to just have the Quaker Oats and Uncle Ben's and Aunt Jemima, and I'm going to have all of them. I'm just going to take pictures. I'm going to take some selfie pictures, and we're good. That's what I got going on. You know what? But,
and
ultimately, that's it. That's all I got, man.
And for all our listeners, like, I've put some historic information regarding Aunt Jemima and I think the Cream of Wheat guy on our Facebook page. So if you want to read more about it, I'm trying to find more unbiased information about these products and where their history is. If you wanted to know, just out of curiosity's sake, I put it there. Please join it, follow it, tell your friends about it, share it. And I just got news that we just opened up the page and we just got 100. It's not a big number, but we try to celebrate and be grateful for the small things as we grow. Because it's homegrown and we're, you know, trying to have fun with the little things. So, yeah. And so my last words are, you know, there's a lot going on. Do your research. Try to just, with your friends and family, just try to overlook all the BS. You know, if you guys are friends, try to overlook the BS and try to, like, look at what's real. Dive into it, but just don't just be fussing and fighting just because you can, especially black people. Like, just don't be fussing and fighting just because you can. And I think, what did Ricky Smiley said? He said, just because you can doesn't make it right.
That's right. That's a good word.
That's what I want to leave everybody with. So
that's a good word.
So don't forget, we're every Monday. We're every Monday at 8, and we have the different time zone times, and then we'll have the substitution shows. But our regular show is going to be now changed to Monday at 8 p.m. on Pacific Standard Time.
That's right. It's going down.
And that's all I got.
That's all we got. May the force be with y'all. Live long and prosper.
Right,
those
time,
are the
y'all.
Positive ones. Right.